Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean, and I am your host for Getting It Done. For the last month or so, we've been doing shows concerning race relations, and today, I don't know. I don't know if you can consider this race relations as much as you can consider it something concerning a conspiracy. But it does involve people of race, especially black boys. So we're going to listen to the countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys, which was done in 1987, and I don't think anything has changed too much. In fact, it has gotten worse. Let's listen.
And now, here is Dr. Jawanza Pinjupa with his penetrating presentation of Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
There is no topic that concerns me more than the one conspiracy to destroy black boys. The reason is my little boys on preschool and primary grades, they're very innocent and very enthusiastic about learning. But something happens to that, and we need to find out what that is. My younger son is on the cover of this particular book, and I would like for him to grow up to be a man. Like many of you already told me, that you have sons and male students as well. Now, there's two parts of the conspiracy, volume one, and this is volume two. In volume one, we raise four questions. First question is, when did the conspiracy start? Who is against black boys? Why is there a conspiracy against them? And what exactly is the conspiracy? That's in volume one. In volume two, we look at the relationship between mothers and their sons. That must be studied. We also must look at female teachers and black male students. That must also be studied. We must look at some case studies. In other words, many of us are doing a very good job developing black boys to be men. What is it that some of us are doing that others are not doing? And then last but not least, a program called the Rites of Passage into Manhood. See, it used to be we knew when black boys became men. But now many of us don't know when we're men. How much reefer we smoke, how much wine we drink, how many babies we make. Until black men spell out to black boys what it means to be a man, this conspiracy will continue. Let's go back to volume one. We need to start. And as we begin to look at that, I want to also share with you why we call it a conspiracy to destroy black boys. You see, contrary to belief at birth, there are more black boys born in the world than there are girls. It's close, but it's 1.03 black boys born in the world to 1.0 black girls. Hear me clearly. At birth, black boys outnumber black girls 1.03 to 1.0. A brief 18 years later, it is now 1.0 available, and that's the key word, available black men, to 1.8 available black women. Almost two adult women for every one adult man. Now, the only question that should be going through your minds right now, we keep raising the wrong question. We keep asking, why do black men hang on corners? Why do black men lack direction? When you ask this question, you're asking the question 18 to 30 years too late. It is not a conspiracy to destroy black men. It's a conspiracy to destroy black boys. If you destroy them as a boy, you'll never become a man. And I can look around the room and tell you, you know where I am. If they are not available to black women, where are they? Call the road. In jail, there are 329,000 brothers in prison right now. One of every four brothers will go to prison. Well, death. There are numerous ways that we die. There's homicide, suicide, drugs, war, high blood pressure, and the leading killer among black men, lung cancer. Our love for cigarettes, especially cool. Smoke them all day long, that exact same way. Cool. Well, we have prison, death. What else would make us unavailable to black women? Yes, homosexuality. Like you said earlier, one every 9 men in this country are homosexual. Well, yes. Okay, so institutionalization, and there's not only in terms of hospitals, but also mental institutions, and of course, when they get released, many times being homeless. There's still one other large popular area. Zimby? Okay, interracial marriage. Now I want to pause here for a moment, because you would think if anybody is going to marry outside the race, it would be black women. You got two black women for every one black man. But as Cindy pointed out, it's exactly the opposite. There are 164,000 interracial marriages, of which 116,000 are brothers. That means 48,000 sisters. It's almost a 2-to-1 ratio of black men to black women marrying outside the race. But remember, as you said in the earlier workshop, if the definition of you is light skin, long hair, and blue eyes, why stop wearing that? The light skin sister. Why not get you the real thing? That's some serious problems here. And then black men tell me, I can't find a black woman to understand. You mean out of 20 million black women, you can't find one to understand you? You don't need a white woman, you need a psychiatrist. But that's another workshop on relationships. But I just want to share with you, we got some very serious problems. But to tease this audience, black women are tired of being by themselves. And in the earlier issue of Essence magazine, the article said, guess who's coming to dinner now? Black women are tired of being by themselves. In other words, brothers, you can't have it both ways. You can't have two black women to choose from and still marry a white woman. You can't have it both ways. Black women are tired of being by themselves. Now, that's with regards to the stats, why we wrote the book, because we saw the shortage of black men. But what we want to begin to find out is when did it start? You see, it's called a fourth wave syndrome. Studies show that black boys may be the best students in the country up until the fourth grade. So we wanted to find out what your son or male student was doing at the beginning of the third grade, then at the end of the seventh grade, and then measure the progress. Let me give you three examples. We had a little boy 5 years ago in our reading test score at the 98th percentile in the country. In other words, a walking genius. That means only 2% male, female, white, or black had a higher score than he at the beginning of the third grade. At the end of seventh grade, the same boy now drops down to the 35th percentile. Engineer potential here. Temple push it down. Score should have improved 5 years. Instead, they only improved 1.3. Two more examples. We had a little boy at the 92nd percentile. He dropped down to the 24th percentile, and his score has only improved 2.1. But let me give you an added example. We had a little boy at the 63rd percentile. He dropped down to the 4th percentile, and his score didn't improve a year, a month, a week, not even a day. We have three critical stages in black boys' development: infancy to 9, 9 to 13, and 13 to 18. You see, it's easy to see the negative behavior here when he's already dropped out, later by some street corner lacking direction. It's more difficult to see it around 9 years of age, when they begin to sit further in the back of the class, when they begin to ask less questions, when their bad becomes more important than their book, when they begin to cheat on their test. We appeal to you to turn your sons and male students on early. Teach them how to read early. Teach them the beauty of being black and believing in God early. But many of us have waited, and we have waited almost too late to develop black boys to be men. You know what I'm getting at. America spends $2,300 on Head Start. They spend $38,000 on prison. If Reagan wants to balance the budget, I can show you that they're about $36,000 per person. It's much easier to educate than it is to incarcerate. Now, you raise the question, how long do you stay in Head Start? A year? 2 years is the most? How long do you stay in prison? The rest of your life? Question number one. Question number two, does Head Start work? A 19-year study documents that Head Start works, but in prison, 85% of the inmates to get released go right back in. But as Jesse Jackson said, we have two choices. We can either send me to Penn State or State Penn. It's your choice. We have got to find ways to intervene. Now, we have a whole workshop just on the fourth grade syndrome. I now want to ask you, what are some of the reasons you feel explained why black students, especially black boys, were doing so well K through 3? And now scores declined in the intermediate and upper grades. What explains? Yes.
I think the learning style changes abruptly in fourth grade from what might have been more right brain activities in the primary grades into all of a sudden all left brain activities.
Okay. So a change in learning style or methodology from the teacher, from a holistic learning style to a left brain. Okay. Very good. Any others? Yes.
I think that there's a lot of rejection on the part of female teachers in the classroom.
And when rejection increases with the upper grade, why do you think it increases?
Because of the student, perhaps his natural makeup, hyperactivity, and that sort of thing.
And then it increases. Well, it may be increasing because we're now expecting him to stay in school or stay in a chair even longer. Okay. Any others that contribute to this fourth grade syndrome? We have a change in learning style. We have the teacher's outlook on the student. What else? Yes.
The student becomes more culturally aware and differs significantly from what the teacher offers.
Okay. So the child's now become more aware of their culture and racial identity. Okay. Very good. Any others? The major reason you have not given yet, and that's why this problem is still with us, Terry. First name is, I'm sorry, Richard.
Well, the peer group starts to form, become stronger.
That's unfortunate, Richard, that you said that, because as the age increases, the peer pressure is on the increase, while parental involvement is on a decrease. I don't know who told parents when your child is older, they need less of your time rather than more. When I speak to AFI parents, 80% of them are there. Elementary school, 30%. High school, almost a joke. We have to work on that. That's another workshop, too, on parenting all the way through, not just in those quote unquote tender years. But the major reason, not on the board, still looking for. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, too, that young boys, and particularly young black boys, in the primary grades, they have new mother figures. And they have very few men's figures, particularly black male figures. And I think it makes a big difference come grade four.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a major reason. And let me now give my first position. I sincerely believe that only men can make boys men. Now, that was quote. I didn't say that a single female parent or female teacher cannot rear or educate a child. But she may not do that by herself. But she calls upon her father, her brother, an uncle, a male neighbor, a nephew, a coworker. There needs to be some man out there in line. I want to explain to me how a boy could have grown up to be a man if he's never seen things. In order to be anything, you must see it first. Remember the earlier workshop, and I'll go through this very quickly, from the University of Michigan, we wanted to find out what the major influence on children. We said 1950, it was home, school, church, peer group, and television. And then we gave you 1980, home was still number one, peer group in the number two position, television three, school dropped down to number four, church last on the list. Let's go back to my statement. My statement says that only men can make boys men. Now, let's see if blind boys are going to find men. Let's first of all look at his home. 62% of all blind children live in a single-run household. It's a very good chance he will not find a man here. I'm going to hold off on the streets and drop down to television. Can you name me five positive adult black men on television outside the news? And you can't name Cosby because it shows your spot. Name me five. Outside the news.
Jefferson.
And you better not say George Jefferson. Very few black male role models on television. Now let's drop down to the schools. 83% of all elementary school teachers are women. 95% of all teacher aides are women. And when do men teach? After the critical fourth grade, or they're in the upper grade, or they're a PE teacher, the janitor, or the principal. Very few before the fourth grade where black boys meet in the most. And lastly, the church. Most young people, men don't go to church. And the reason is we lied to them. First of all, we made Jesus Christ white. The man surely was not white. We have a book called What Color Was Jesus to explain that. He had hair and texture of wool and feet the color of bronze. But secondly, the Lord's prayer says on earth as it is in heaven. Young people and men want some action. They want some programs. If there are no programs in your church, they will see you later in heaven. As a result of not finding a man at home, few on television, few in school, and not wishing to attend church, the last place is the streets. And that's the problem. The streets do a very poor job making men. They do a better job making pimps, pushers, and a few basketball players. The hero, Michael Jordan, said there were 1 million blacks that won his job last year in the NBA. Of this million, only 400,000 will even make it to play high school ball. Of this 400,000, only 4,000 will make it to play college ball. Of this 4,000, only 35 will go to the coveted NBA. Of his 35, only 7 start. And the average life in the NBA is 4 years. You got 1 million brothers looking for 7 full-time jobs that last 4 years. This conspiracy is complex. It goes beyond the NBA. Even schools are in on it. Who'll be the first you see when you walk into a Cincinnati high school? A large trophy case. And others even schools give more glory to their ball players than the scholars. That's in the earlier workshop. Where are the pep rallies for the honor? In other words, even school, I can understand the NBA, but even school give more glory to their ball players than this college. This conspiracy goes beyond the NBA, though. It goes beyond school. Jesse Jackson is giving you the clue one more time. Is it not possible for a black man to be president? For a white woman to be president? For a black woman to be president? Is the club only reserved for European women? You didn't know that a white boy with a high school diploma makes more money than a white woman, a black man with a college degree? The motive for the conspiracy is clear. For the question of why is there a conspiracy, the answer is white male supremacy. In other words, white men are not afraid of women, black or white, because women have no power anywhere in the world. The threat of European men will come not from women, it will come from other men. And the best way to destroy black men is to destroy them as a boy. The motive is white, male supremacy. But before you get comfortable blaming somebody else, let me make sure we're clear. On a conspiracy, there would always be two. You see, you have the active conspirator, and you have the passive conspirator. See, it's like child abuse. There are always two. You have the father, who has the beast, active. But you have the mother, which has the passive. Isn't apathy, indifferent, low expectation, buying hot goods in the broad community, isn't that also part of conspiracy? You have the active, and you have the passive. In a conspiracy, there are always be two. Let me now give you the start line. We'll start with the active one first, and then move to the passive. Leading off, Banning in the number one position, representing this country, institutional racism. Banning first is the president. He backs in the number one position. Banning second, representing the Trial and Honor Commission, the Fortune 500, big business. David Rockefeller backs number two. Banning third, representing the military complex. He announced black people, 12% of the population, one-third of the military, and died 41% of the time in the Vietnam War, the chief of state. That's number three. Banning four, and I don't mean Marlon Brando. I mean the real godfather. Girls running rampant in the black community. Don't please or deceive yourself. In America, they're the number one target in the world. They can police their borders to stop the drug traffic. These men and what they represent in Kissel want to make sure the black boys never go to the men. So remember, we got to help. Who some of us, who really like black boys, who may even have black boys at all, just didn't know anything. And so if we bat number five to nine, batting fifth, not all, but some mothers who raise their daughters and love their sons. Batting sixth, for female teachers who don't understand the girl, have different learning styles than girls. Batting seventh, representing the media in this country, shows like Gary Coleman and Rustin, shows that Nick Mussick, shows that illustrates that black men cannot raise intelligent black boys to be men. In other words, we need a white man father for Gary Coleman and for Rustin. It's all part of the media. It goes all the way back to Tarzan, all the way back to Superman, all the way back to Rambo, to Rocky. All part of white male fantasy trying to control the world. All part of steam, make sure you heard it, is consistent with Superman, Tarzan, Santa Claus, the white father, all part of that scheme. That and eight, the macho Mr. T, and we'll look at today someone like Prince or Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas. In other words, no need to study, get to be macho, get to be a superstar. In other words, Mr. T, Prince for Entertainment, Isaiah Thomas of Magic for sports. And then last but not least, a black woman by the name of Kathy, who will do anything for man, and a black man by the name of Willie, who does not feel good about himself. You see the faces right now. Who's Kathy? And stay to the end to find out who's sitting. The starting lineup, Reagan, Rock, no, you don't know who Willie is, but we got this very quick man. We used to be in a guy named Kathy, but now we're going to give you the Eddie Willie theory. We have a new one. So we have Ronald Reagan, David Rockefeller, Chancellor Warren River, the Godfather, some mothers, not at all, some mothers, some female teachers, the media image, macho sport, and Kathy and Roy. These people and what they represent, intentionally or subconsciously, we have to make sure that Brian Moore never grew up to the end. Let's say I look at the afternoon first. I want to make sure we started by test. The conspiracy did not start with black mothers. It started somewhere else. We will start where it began. It began with active conspirators. I want to now look at them first. Looking at the active conspirators, I want to make sure we understand that these kind of terms don't make sense. We are not in the world. In other words, there are 4.5 billion people living in the world. Of this number, 80% of the world population has come. There is only 20% of the world population not come. Now you tell me who's a minority. You see, it's called the African tribe. Because they're already there. We're not the minority. We're only a minority. We allow ourselves to be divided up from our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, in Jamaica, in the United States. Look at this African triangle. After all these years of the way we're dressed, you can't tell who's who. There are 1 billion people living in China alone, and we are second. 500 living in Africa, 160 living in Central and South America, 40 million living in the United States. We are not the minority. Now, the question is, how can so small control so much? That's why I respect them so much. Think about it. You have a game. You have one game with 80 people, another game with 20, and the 20 got wasted. The only way they could do that is by controlling the mind. Because whoever controls the mind
also the church of God. Let's break this down in half. But you come over to 10% European women and 10% European men. See, it's not even 20, it's really 10% European men. In other words, the Trilateral Commission, they want to control more than just their country. They want to control the world. And they have put it off. Now, they have a tremendous amount of pressure when you're this small trying to control so much. Now, maybe you can't understand it. It's been a long time. Go back to Egypt, God, having that much power. But can you imagine that small group trying to control the world? A tremendous amount of pressure is on that small group with that much power. In other words, the same thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. According from their own Goldberg, the book is called The Hazards of Being a Man. The tremendous pressure when you're so small trying to control so much. The first thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. Think about it. Everything Ronald Reagan cried, John Wayne cried, they died with their boots on. They died in their family. They died like men. Now, any psychologist will tell you to cry means they're suicide mate. But if you don't think European men, not crying, European men commit suicide more than anybody else. Black men who want so much to be like European men are very close. European women are third and the most sane person in America. She don't make no money but stay close to God and her children and cry. Black women can commit suicide less than anybody else. Give yourself an income. In other words, if you think that money is the source of all your happiness, they make more money than anybody else. But they obviously are not happy. In other words, money may not be the key. Putting God and your children first may be the key. Poor people in America commit the less amount of sin. First thing men are taught to do is not to cry. Second thing men are taught to do is to ignore pain. Got hypertension? Shake it off. Cancer? Shake that off too. Monday Night Football. Walter Payton was off the field with a busted knee. Comes back on a half hour later in the Holocaust. Oh, what a man. The man was crazy to go back in the field. But we men are taught to be macho, to ignore pain. Now women, the women scream to believe to doctors off. Women took care of themselves. But now men, you know what got so bad, and started now documented that when men are men, they live long. That's an insult to my children. It means that I cannot live long by myself. I gotta leave my mama and go to my wife. Because if I don't, I'm probably gonna smoke cigarettes, drink liquor, and eat a lot of pork on the street. So the women, annual checkup, that's what encouraged me to do, drink a river amount of water and eat a salad on a regular basis. So am I getting that? European women say they're so oppressed. European women live to 77 years of age. Black women live to 75 years of age. European men die at 69 years of age. And black men die at 64.8. Albert, you and I got a 41st Social Security check. That law needs to be changed. The law, bro, we are living long because that's on the thing. This is science. I'm going to die 10 years before my life. This is not theoretical. This is my son here. It's my wife and your wife. Can I not live as long as my wife? 10 years before her? When are first of all taught not to cry. Secondly, they're taught to ignore pain. And then last thing I look, they're taught to bring on the bacon. When I say the vegetarian, bring on the fruit and the vegetables. In other words, to bring on the money. Ronald Reagan knows this. Rockefeller knows this. But the best way to store black men is to not give them the opportunity to work. You know what I'm getting at, because Bill Murray from Tony Evans' Vanishing Black Family documentary, one of every three men in this country, black or white, ends in the war in 18 months. And see, it used to be if you got the war, something was wrong with you. But you know the fact this time, something must have been wrong with society. I now want to explain what that is. When America believes in agriculture, America believes in extended family. When America believes in the factory industrialism, America believes in the nuclear thing. Now that America believes in the computer, now America believes in the single penis thing. Make sure you see my analysis. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. There was more of a love in the relationship. There was some money involved in it. Our grandparents worked their fields together. Had economic reasons to stay together, so they did. In the factory, man worked in the factory, women took care of children. Economic reason again to stay together. But if men count, but you now have women working just as much as not more than men, you now hear women telling me, don't need you. Got my own job. Do what I want to do, then I want to do. And we are now doing very well. And by ourselves. You know the number I told you a couple of years ago. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. If you want to be with men, you got to have a JLB. It's all about money. All about money. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. The family had a lot of people making plenty of money and loans. They paid money before family. You see, black men went to a white man, buy their family a house in the suburbs, two cars, and once a year go down to Orlando, but this is the way of the future. And when black men can't do that, they don't feel they're worthy enough to stay. They see, the problem is, there are two responses black women can give to black men for that work. Now, the first response, some women say, well, you ain't working, you got to go. If you ain't working, you got to go. That's a mistake. Because black men don't hire nor fire. Look at other means of production. Now, before black men say, that's right, brother, you tell them. Please, brothers, quit assuming that black women took our jobs for them. Because black women offer to not hire nor fire. We are being carried off against each other for some crumbs. We left them in the second response. The black women say in there, well, if you ain't working, can you at least go back to school? Can you at least learn a skill? Can you at least make better or more efficient phone calls? But the problem is there are very few black men that look to black women. The definition of man. Black men, as I said earlier, were no black men. And that means be the great one. Then I'm getting at it. We're going to have to redefine what it means to be a man. Because if being a man means being a provider, with 25% of black men out of work, that's a suicidal definition. You see, if I lose my job tomorrow, I'm still a man. As long as I'm responsible, treat my wife correctly, raise my children, that's responsibility. I'm not going to allow my employer to reduce my masculinity. I need to define what being a man is. And I think it's a perfect balance between the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. Not being a burden. That are bound to the mental, physical, and the spiritual. Isn't it interesting? You have two black men. Both lose their jobs. One black man is left to come. Leave his home. He's been reduced by his time. The other black man sells newspapers, sells peanuts, does whatever he can to take care of his family. Same economic situation, but a different set of boundaries. We have to work on that. Our new definition to resolve this problem. I'm not being limiting money. You have to have money living in America. That's not the criteria for men. Boys make babies. Men take care of them. That's the definition. One more comment here. I mentioned earlier in our past workshop on the peer group. Let me share with you here this dichotomy where you have the mental over here and you have the physical over here. See, a real problem is our boys have a difficult time finding the balance in the middle. I mentioned earlier homosexuality, and the figure is one of every 9 men in this country are homosexual. It's going to increase. And the reason is because we've been so skilled to the physical, being macho, that our boys want to be an honorable, noble sister. Want to be involved in firearms, noble sister. Want to be open, honest, communicator, noble sister. When you're labeled something long enough, you begin to act that way. So you have a homosexual over here, and you have an athlete, the macho, over here. Tremendous that comes between these two. We have got to find some men that can teach blind boys and expand boys. The balance between the physical and the mental. It's to make too much pressure over here. It's hard to find the balance, and women can't teach it. Only men can do it. We need more black men who can do both of these areas. Physically balanced and mentally balanced. And spiritual women. Comments, questions about what is a man. We've been looking at male behavior. Any comments or questions?
Yes,
when you explain what you meant by saying women bring these spiritual knowledge. We're looking at the act of the spiritual, and we're looking at the effect that causes us in terms of male behavior. And we may not be able to control or to change Reagan, Rockefeller, Weinberg, but your question we can change. We can look at the mother, not the son, not all. The rule is that some mothers raise their daughters and love their sons. My boy always loves his mom. 40 years of age, still in the home with you. That needs to stop. Your boy is not yours. He's a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised as a. Now, what I mean by raised, teach your son how to cook, to make up his own bed, to clean up his own bathtub because you raised your daughter. On the hour off, every month, go to church with you every Sunday. And she can cook so hard and clean better than you have your son. Ain't never seen an honor man. He plays basketball all evening long. Never goes to church and can't boil a hot dog. He has sons, not all, raising their daughters and loving his son. Now, no historical reason. The historical reason is our society always try to destroy black men. Religion. So black mothers always want to always protect their sons. What's the reason today? I know the KKK is involved. What's the reason today? Is it because your own black man didn't stay? You now replace your man with your son? Your son is dead, you? He's a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised that way. Quit telling these 9-year-old boys they're a man of the house. Ain't no 9-year-old boy ready to be no man of the house. But because you told him that, he now begins to wonder. When you did bring all the good man for the evening, mom, not that house a man of the house. Why are you bringing him over? You can't have it go right. He's going to be the man of the house for bringing your boyfriend over on Saturday night. More sad though, these brothers think. So they can do with their mama, they can do with their teacher, their coach, and everybody else. In other words, living home with you in a $100 pair of gym shoes, $80 pair of a Gucci handbag. In other words, these boys are masters how to manipulate their mama. And they think they can do with you, they can do everybody else. And we find out, what you never get away with, nobody else does. In other words, 90% of all teenage pregnancy programs come to the end. We have teenage pregnancy running rampant. But as far as the last time I look, it's a two to make a baby. But 90% of the programs let the brothers off the hook. The real question is, who is going to teach blind boys responsible? And you don't start when he makes a baby. In other words, the real question is, who's going to teach blind boys responsible for his personal hygiene, for his clothing, for his chore, for his room, for his sibling, for the lounge, for his study, for his tour, for his schedule? And then, you don't start responsibility at 16, it starts running out. For example, when I was growing up, my father ordered a mutual fund account for me. And every year my brother explained to me, this is how much money you have in your account. But if you met the baby, all your money is going to take care of your child. Should it be any different? If I didn't just make it to the office, take care of it. So my oldest son was 15. I told him I was going to say, well, yeah, but now we're up on the 15-year. So he told me last week with Danny, this money looks so good to me, I just decided I'm not ever making either. I'm keeping all my money to myself. But the point is, the boy understands responsibility. He understands if I make a baby, you will take care of it. There are mothers who know their son and pregnant if some girl can stand up, and it's these boys will be born. And it will be ready to make it. I want to pause here. Explain. Why are some mothers raising their daughters? I love this one. Did you grow up in a household where you didn't grow up with your sister and your brothers did? Why is that? And you know what else I believe? I believe in child rearing has a lot to determine in marriage. In other words, man or mama thing is a very critical mistake. Because it can always go back to the mom. So it was just the way it always was that the third time I take whatever you want to get. It is terrible, man or mama. Comment, my water breath. Give some feedback on Marcus with his son. What do you think about that?
But I'm
sorry. You never know about Marcus and his son.
This boy will be bored real bad.
Right.
Exactly where to keep them as boys.
Right.
Where to keep them being responsible. They
will
want to be
made. They're more apt to be anyway. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them, we're showing you from men in the church. That can be corrected by taking our sons to church. The sons can stay home, option to them, but not the daughters. Instead of playing outside, daughters in a certain hour. The sons all night long, double standing. Make the daughter pray, but not the son. See, my point is, if black children come back to you, if black women know the power of their own black men, all they're corrected with your son. See, you know what the problems are with black men, you don't son. They have somebody else's child. All that you know needs to be done, put that into your sister. Well, I'm a picture. If you really love your sister, if you really love your sister, correct the problem with your son. Yes, sir.
This is because the mother loves the child so much as hurts the mother to hurt the child, see the child hurt, so the child will continue to
move. They know their daughter's sick, but they hurt their daughter.
I don't know if that's a little bit of a
sure. know, nothing we have to do. Father, that's my name. In other words, it's just seeing the father there. See, it's something about a black man or father. Seeing this male, his same size, sitting on his sofa, eating on the roof. Boy, you got to know. He said, see his daughter say as long as she wants. But see, the mother knows the daughter. And for the mother, you got to go too. See, mothers make the daughters go. And fathers make the sons go. But when the father's not there, nobody makes the sons go. Yes, no man is going to go.
I also think it has something to do with the norms, church settings, systems, too. And we try to integrate those. It's like people. For example, I just wanted to inform and everybody work together, but then it's finding out that the male has a role, the girl has a role. So the parents try to perpetuate that.
You can't fault the black man who you married, not wanting to wash dishes. He wasn't forced to wash dishes at home. So you can't fault him when he marries you. That's teaching him. Next issue, female teachers. We're also very concerned about female teachers. Remember the exact percentage. It's 83% in the elementary grade. The number of black children in public schools, 17%. The black children are 41% of all the special ed children. That 17 doesn't equal 41. All the learning disabled, EMR, extra-mission retardants, BD, learning disorders. It gets worse. If a black child doesn't be labeled special ed, 85% of the time it's going to be a black one. Why is it not 50-50 black be a black one? Well, the reason it may not be with just our children doing more than catching my hand, it may be up here at the top. It may be that female teachers may not know the door are different than girls. You have to know that, Richard. The door are different than girls. I only want the women to answer. The men know they're different. I want to now hear the women to share with us what are some of the differences between boys and girls in the classroom. Because only when you know what the differences are can you use the name changing methodology. To meet the needs of their learning style. Yes.
More active.
Okay, more active. What else?
Physical.
More physical. Okay, more aggressive. What else? Come on,
man.
Go ahead.
I think the boys are more egotistical.
Okay, so large ego.
Large ego.
Okay. And a good look. Any other?
They're not quite as willing to please either of those girls.
Okay. Less cooperative. And we use my hand as people over there the time. So you know if we find a more aggressive, a more athletically inclined, have a shorter attention span, a slower maturation rate, as you said, are less cooperative, are larger than the girl, influence more by their peer group, more advanced gross motor and fine motor, not as meek as girl, a louder than girl, likely have hats on their head, have a different walk, have a larger ego, and last but not least, but it does more than girl. You know how many teachers, especially white teachers, white female teachers, don't know what the doesn't are, don't know what signifying is. Now remember, we live in a world controlled by men. Males want to find out who's the best, or as they say, who's the bad. Now remember, in school, the rule is you can't fight, but they still want to find out who's the best. They play a new game called doesn't signify. It is a verbal word game of the most prized person in the black community. And who's the most prized person in the black community? Your mom. We can talk about your mom right now. I saw your mom on the railroad track. Looked at her and said, ooh, get back. It's a verbal word game. Now, the game is designed as a verbal word game of the most prized person, your mom. Now, if you break down and start fighting, you mean she got a school style on that, he wins. If you break down and start crying, again, all that, he wins. Now, before I go on, you know how many black boys are suspended? Or taking a special ed to a plan that doesn't. You know how many teachers don't understand those same two black boys who are playing that doesn't, really getting dazzled with mama with the best of friends 2 seconds late? They didn't understand the culture. Now, don't misquote. I'm not condoning the dozen nor black age, but they don't exist. And if you want to move a child from one to the other, it may not be what you say, it may be how you say it. In other words, black age, first day of school. 5-year-old girl walking to your classroom, speaking what she heard, black English. When you condemn the language, you've done more than condemn the language. You now destroy the child's self-esteem. The language is legitimate, has different rules to it. It exists, legitimate rules to it. And if you want to move a child for black English, the same as about English, you don't condemn it. You make him feel good, will you? If you run an algorithm scale, you're playing a doctor. I'm a former teacher, and is really the devil says. There's some skill within the devil. First of all, you have an expanding vocabulary. You have to have the ability to make words rhyme. You have to have quick thinking skills. You have to be comfortable on speaking. And I knew that. Thanks to really my best student. Really, if you're a bad girl playing the devil, making words rhyme, or chanting all the life, I want you to be the MC of all my folks. I want you in my drama department, on my spelling routine. In other words, I stroked him. I made him feel good, playing rhyme. And then he was willing to give me those skills in my classroom. But the real issue is, you need to let these boys know and respect their culture. Because if you condemn it, they will fight you every step of the way. And you know what else they will do? They will also fight you when we call it a showdown. The showdown between God Bill and female teachers. You see, God Bill don't know when that meant. And God Bill has not made it clear to them when it's coming. So they think having a female teacher one on one is going to make them a man. Especially around 4th grade. And 4th grade all, they want to find out who's in charge of class. Call it a showdown. There are numerous options in the showdown between a black man and a black and a white and a female teacher. Showdown number one. She said, sit down. We ain't going to sit down. Well, Willie May sit down, but it may be late on the afternoon. Willie May is showdown number one. Showdown number two. She responds to Willie some of the time, but not all the time. She's inconsistent. I believe Willie wins each one of them. She does not respond to. Showdown number three. She says, I'm going to suspend you or place you in special rate. We never rules to the assistant person or special rate person, but he did not do what she said. He wins showdown number three. Showdown number four. She says, very assertively, sit down now. You got to get what's there and look at you. Strong eye kind of thing. But look you back in line. And she wins showdown number four. Showdown number five. She responds to Willie each and every time. She's consistent, and she's winning each one of those showdowns. Then the last one, a friend of mine in Chicago told me she had a friend who thought he was so bad. He was not going to stand up. He was going to run the class through the day. He was going to make a nervous. He was going to look at him, smile. So every time Audrey looked at him, he looked back and smiled. But then Audrey looked back with the same strength and smiled. It's been all day long. Willie looked and smiled. Audrey looked back and smiled. And when the class, some of the boys, Willie came to Audrey and said, okay, I understand that you are in charge of this class. But the reason is, she does three things right. She first of all loves him, and he knows that. She respects him, and he knows that. And she also respects his culture, and he knows that. Because of that, there is no shortage. Because he knows that she is a child of Christ. What I'm getting at, to turn back to, if you know that they have a shorter attention span, what should that do to your life? Make it shorter or make it more interesting? If you understand that they have a more advanced gross mode than fine mode, what should you allow more in your classroom? More hands-on learning activity. In other words, my point is, if you understand that they have different learning styles, rather than taking them out of your class and putting them in special ed, why don't you alter your learning style, your methodology? But you know what I'm saying? Most principals know that 5% of their teachers is over 30% of the research. So that's the case. Why remove the child? Why don't you remove the teacher? How is the child doing so well in third grade with a good teacher? And now with the EMR in fourth grade, it may not be the child. It may be the teacher. It's really a shame we can't stay on this long with our learning style. Hyperactivity. It's a value judgment. If you know what hyper is, God must have told you it's normal. Hyper is a value judgment. It may not be that blind boys are hyperactive. It may be the lucky one that's simply too slow. Think about that next time you're going to play with a child, especially. Come on, Chris. I'm going to wrap up with regards to what is the conspiracy to struggle our world. I believe the conspiracy is made up of white male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of black male role models, the male socialization process, parental apathy and double standards, low teacher expectations, a female designed classroom, a distorted medium, and influential peer group. In terms of the question of what is the conspiracy, I know you can't just all those down and we have the agency, so please read the book. I want to repeat them again, but those are the major factors that make up what is the conspiracy to struggle like doing. Male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of male role models, male socialization process, parental apathy, raising their daughters and loving their sons, low teacher expectations, a female designed classroom, a distorted media, and an influential peer group. Now, what I want to begin to look at is what can the home do to stop the conspiracy to spread by doing? It's not enough to describe it. children are home. In order to stop this conspiracy, we must first of all become aware. I believe the first way to stop any problems is to know the problem exists, is study. We have got to study. And men and women, especially women, have got to admit the door we know, especially with men and women. And after we admit that, then we need to identify some male role models that will play that kind of position with our will. And please don't lie to me for you don't know. In other words, on the block, in your extended family, where you work at, please don't say you don't know at least one positive black man. In other words, just because the biological father is that big, does that mean there's not some other black men in the room? We believe in extended family concept. We also want you to set a contract on what this man will do with your son on an ongoing regular basis. And for the fathers, please quit taking your son over to the ball game and to the zoo. To make fathers take their sons to the zoo and to ball game. When it's time to go to the grocery store or the barber shop, go with your mom. In other words, I believe that black boys are often lied by seeing you in very natural situations, at the oil change, at the barber shop, just talking smack on the street. So please quit thinking that you only interact with your children and some child-centered activity. They need to see what you do on an ongoing regular basis. We must also work on black boys' fine motor development. In other words, early on, in kindergarten, we're labeling black boys and staying behind. Because the girls work with crayons, pencils, and scissors. The boys have been working with chalk. We have to work on blind boys' fine motor development. We also have to work on a non-sexist household. In other words, teachers learn how to cook, how to sew, how to clean. We also recommend you teach your son sex education and before 12 years of age. The studies show that you give children sex ed after they've already started. You should even say that, not after. We've already made a baby after 12 or 13. We have to work on that. We must also monitor the peer group. You know, good parents always have never been part of the peer group. First of all, good parents know who their children's friends are. They invite them over to get to know them better. And many times, parents program a peer group to make sure their child runs the right group. My parents enrolled me on a track team. I had them across country, indoor, and outdoor track. Whether running around the gang, they have been running around the track. My parents need that attention to make sure. Good parents also buy the television. TV cannot be turned on by itself. Quit blaming the television set. We must also look at us. And then last but not least, we must listen to our children. Many times they tell them, our parents don't listen to them. That's why the peer group is ready. The peer group listens. Many times we don't. You know, the average father only spends 7 minutes with his children. The average mother, 34 minutes. It's a tragedy. But if that's all you're spending, make sure it's quality time. Make sure you're listening. We recommend these strategies for the home. For school, we recommend the following. First of all, again, you always believe in study. You must first of all become aware of a conspiracy to destroy black rulers. After that, you must increase male teaching. My first desire is to increase male standards. My second one would be those in the upper grades at least for 1 year to keep your lower grade. In other words, what I recommend is that we have more black men before fourth grade, at least in the intermediate division. In addition to that, if we cannot get this, we want more black role models coming into the school. If we cannot get them on staff, the least we can do is invite black men in. I encourage black men to volunteer in your local school because the men out there so we need to have you ready. In addition to that, we also want to change some of the changes are trying to change the methodology to begin to use a white brain learning activity. In other words, more hands-on learning objects, such as the fine arts, artifacts, pictures, and the like. We also recommend that we emphasize academics over athletics. We must give more glory to academic achievement than we do athletic achievement. These are the strategies we recommend for the school. To one, study it, increase male teachers, increase role models, look at a wide range of learning style, and emphasize academics over and over. Lastly, for the solution, we also want to look at the community. The community has a program to destroy black boys. We must have one to protect and develop black boys. One program is the Boy Scout. It's an excellent program that teaches black boys skills. But the problem is, the Boy Scout master may be homosexual. May not know about his school. The Boy Scouts may be nothing more than a junior high, but it's an excellent program. It teaches one board skit, but it may not do anything else. Another program is Big Brother, and that's really constant. It gives black male aroma. Yep, the Big Brother may be homosexual, may not know black history. And some of the experiences are going to continue. And we recommend that you grant Boy Scout skills, grant Big Brothers, role models. It's an African program called SIMBA, S-I-M-B-A, SIMBA. It's the African word for young lion. And we now have 17 SIMBA chapters across the country. These are programs where black men are not talking about the problem, they are working on. These are black men who organize themselves to work with black men, to teach them skill, give them a role model, teach them black culture, and the major objective to go through the rite of passage in the manhood. In my city, Chicago, we have a single program where in February, during Black History Month, or during December, during Kwanzaa, we took our boys to go out to our criteria and do a special ceremony called the rite of passage. I repeat, you have some black men talking about what they're going to do. You have some black men organized to begin to work on that kind of issue. We recommend single. It goes all three of those together. Closing point, and then we'll open up for some questions. Donna and Kathy, I mentioned the great outset of one of every two husbands physically abuses his wife. Now, many of the problems only with the men who get to be. There's no two with the men. You see, any respectable woman will make it very clear to her man, you put a hand on me, and either I'm leaving or you break my go to sleep. There are two kind of women in the man. And they go by the names of Donna and Kathy. See, I sincerely believe it. I believe that men know who to be. No doubt. I believe it. And I believe that men are not going to respect women until women, first of all, respect themselves. And there are two kind of women in America, Donna and Kathy. Now, Donna feels very good about herself. She would like to have a man. She don't have to have one. I mean, the song was still, God was still the first in her life. Donna, once in a while, she ain't got to have one. But then you get Kathy, thinking in your way, comes through the door with another woman. With a bottle, with a bottle of fish, all Kathy wants is a man and a half of me. I would just, I want all the Kathy. You know, I've yet across the country, see your sister missing me. She's a Kathy. You know, they tell me, they say, well, I'm a dollar during the weekend, but I'm a Kathy on the weekend. Well, I'm down a dollar down the Kathy on the other hand. It's hard being down in America. When you have 2 men, I'm sorry, 2 women, 7 women, it's easier than you found. If you want to be a champ of the man, it's like a good girl like this. So every sister we can get, instead of acting like a champ, and they begin to act like them, what this means is less champ and more done. As a result of having fewer champ and more done, we have fewer brothers taking advantage of women like champ that respect more women like them. I am tired of women always blaming the brothers. The last time I looked, you still determine who gets your phone number, who takes you out, and every step along the way. It's hard being down there. If you want to be a down there, you're lonely, quiet, and shady. But if you believe in you, you're a teacher's mind. If you want to be a down there, it means you go back to school, get off the welfare, learn your skills for a career, take care of yourself. If you want to be a down there, it means you'll quit watching them soap operas all day long, especially all of my children, so they're going to take care of your home. If you want to be a down there, it means you'll quit eating those cookies and chocolate all evening long. You know, boomerang, the older the women get, the bigger they get. Watch what you eat and exercise. And then last but not least, if you want to be a God in America, you need to put God first in your life. You don't know, it takes longer for boys to grow up, and some boys never grow up. But if every man, a boy, is a child, is making a mistake, we encourage you to wait. But while you're waiting, don't complain. Keep the ball for yourself. So when the brothers finally get ready, you'll be ready too. A good man still takes two, and not one. Now, as you well know, when we used to end, it was out of Kathy Pearson. But the women got on our case in Juwanza. If you're going to talk about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, don't end it talking about us. End it where you started, with the brothers. And now I want to give you to Eddie Willie too. Eddie is dedicated to my father. His name is Eddie, and I believe he's a very strong example of a black man. We have two kind of men in America, Eddie and Willie. Willie makes things. Eddie takes care. In other words, Willie believes it's not the quality. It's the quantity. Willie is made up, a lot of babies. Eddie believes in one thing. Care of them. He hugs them. He believes in the mission of the children. Works with them in their homework. Eddie takes care of them. Willie makes them. Point number one. Point number two. Willie only works, and maybe not even living, outside the house. Eddie works inside and outside. In other words, Willie makes us grass. He may work leaves, but he definitely is not working inside the house because men work outside. outside. Women work inside. But not Eddie. Eddie believes in whatever it takes. Washing dishes, making dinner, whatever it takes. And then last but not least, women is very insecure. And so really verbally and physically abuses the woman. But not Eddie. Eddie is very secure. In other words, Eddie encourages woman to go back to school. To get a promotion for her job. Eddie encourages his woman to go to church. You know, I even heard Eddie goes to church with her. And the reason is Eddie is his wife's best friend. And because of that, he understands that putting his woman down is not the key. The key is feeling good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, there's no need to put anybody down. I want all the diamonds and all the Eddies to stand up and give yourselves a very strong round of applause.
You have been listening to, believe it or not, Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. And that was done in 1987, classic video. And so the things that you're hearing that go back to 1987 are no different than they are today, because we were not able to have attained them all the way up to the present time. Those same kinds of things and the problems are still existing in most homes today, where black boys are being brought up a particular way. And it says right here, classic video compassion to the million selling book series by Joanna Carpu is still relevant three decades later, presented to historical purposes. Find all of Dr. Carpu's books and audios, and you can find them at https://AfricanAmericanImages.com to books. And I thought it was a fantastic presentation, one that makes a lot of sense. You know, we can sit around and we can complain about all the different things that are being done to us. There's also some things that we can do for ourselves. We don't have to wait around for people to tell us that we need to do this and we need to do that. But you see, a lot of the information that was presented is really real. And one of the most heartbreaking elements in the presentation that he just gave is that we lost a generation of black boys due to drugs. Drugs have really played a major role of distorting mental to development, especially those who are heavily into the entertainment fields, singers and musicians and actors, and those who have not kept clean don't live long. Therefore, they don't get a chance to help other people as they should be able to. You find a lot of basketball players today who are finally waking up to the need for them to be role models, as which was discussed. But also, when you think back, if you're a male, to the kind of treatment that you received in a public school, and knowing for the fact that those individuals who were teachers that you had in the early grades that you went to, the elementary schools you went to, say in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, those were the teachers that laid down the foundation for you to grow and to feel good about yourself. And if you didn't feel good about yourself during those particular grades, I'm quite sure you didn't feel good about yourself then as you approach the older grades, the upper grades, and also what you might feel today, because teachers are you with them longer than you are with your parents. And they have helped you to grow and to understand what is happening in this world. Well, I'm not going to go any further with our presentation today, although I have this additional time. But I just wanted to make sure that when I started talking to you about race relations, sometimes you have to take a slight break from all the various kinds of things that are happening in our society and make an approach towards dealing with some other things that you actually can do and benefit from doing it yourselves, and understanding why you're doing it, and understand to look for what the results of what you want it to be of the person that you're working with. So, once again, this has been Getting It Done, the radio show, and your host has been Dr. Walter Dean, and hopefully you gain much knowledge about the kinds of things that we need to start doing or begin working on doing. Hopefully you have a great weekend, and hopefully you'll be listening to the show on Monday. Thank you. Bye-bye.